Check, check. Good morning. It's good to be with you guys again. If you don't know me, my name is Logan. This is Gracie. Pastor Jared asked us to come over again, and of course we said yes. So we're excited to be back with you guys this morning. If you guys would stand to your feet, I'm going to open us up with a word of scripture. It comes from Colossians chapter 3. And Paul writes to one of the early churches, he says, let me get it, in verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So this morning we get to obey this commandment together as we sing and as we open up God's word in just a minute to hear teaching from it. The point of to sing is to teach, to admonish. It's another word for encourage, so that the word of Christ can dwell richly in us. I think it's very important, very, very important, because if it dwells in you, it's not just here, it's here. This is how we get it from here to here. So we sing together with a greater purpose than just sounding good or trying to hit all the notes or trying to get all the words right. We sing so that the church can be built up.
Hey, welcome to Replicate Church. It's great to see you all this morning, and we're honored that you joined us to worship today. If you're new here, I'd like to direct your attention to the bulletin. There's a lot of information in there. Tammy will probably be going over the announcements after church today, so you'll give you an idea of some of the things we have going on. I'd also like to invite you to look at replicatechurch.org. Also check out our Facebook page. You can see a lot of the things we've been doing, some of the things that are coming up, and we just really look forward to some of the ways we can serve you. Yesterday was amazing. While we were here, we had 50 plus children of all ages. Yes. It was an opportunity for us to serve the community at the youth soccer camp. And you know what's so great about those events is, you know, you hear me talk about how church is family and family is church. Usually I'm talking about small groups, but it's those events. It's those events where you get to see us come together and just serve the Lord, and just seeing the amount of love that is shared and bestowed upon those kids as we serve them and really help them be a part of the kingdom and this church family. But, one last thing I'll share with you before we get into prayer was just, I have like these core memories of being here at Replicate Church. And one of them is when we were pressure washing at the East Milton Elementary School. That's where I met Timothy Minshew and learned a little bit about him. That's when I really saw Chris Barton. I was like, man, this guy has a heart to serve. That guy, he would not take any breaks. He's like, nope, I got it, man. Just kept on pressure washing. Is that Gordon? And hey, good to see you, Gordon. And then, it's like there was someone else I knew. They're like, oh, man, Uncle Mark Flores. Like, he does so many great things. If you ever have anything with your house, just a plug for Mark, by the way, he can just do it. You know, and Daniel Wolf, man, he's been serving at a lot of things. And if I miss anyone, I just didn't plan on calling anyone out. But you know, he leads the Hunters for the Hungry. And this a few weeks ago, they donated hundreds of pounds of meat to people in need. Those who need, food. So that's great. So by the way, that's something we do. Hunting season's coming up. See Daniel with the gorgeous curls there in the middle, and that's where you can donate some meat. But anyway, it's those events. It's those events where we form those bonds, and it's all in His name. It's all for the glory of God, and it's just really. I say all that because if you're new here, or if you have been coming here and you don't feel like you really know anyone or have connected, when you just come out and be like, I'm here to serve the Lord, you just tell me where to be, and that's really where you forge those bonds. And as I look across here, and I'll hand it over to Jared in just a second, as I look across here, there's just so many faces and so many memories that I have of how we connected. Heck, you never know when it's a Saturday and you've busted a torque wrench in your driveway, and you're like, who could I call? Mark Bowman, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Dude, I need a torque wrench that can go to 300 foot-pounds. He'll be the guy. But anyway, I'm rambling on. We love you all, and it's so wonderful to see you. And at this time, Pastor Jared will lead us in a scripture-guided prayer.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome again. Hey, we're going to get into scripture-guided prayer in just a moment, but I do want to echo what Mr. Dowlin said this morning, that thank you to everybody that came and served yesterday. Man, it was... I was telling Tammy on the ride home, I was like, it's awesome to come to an event like that where you have 50-plus volunteers and you didn't hear one complaint all day long. If you've been in ministry a second, you know that is a huge deal to not hear any complaints. People just, man, just serving wherever they were needed. And so thank you to that. If you're here this morning, hey, you were here at that camp yesterday and you decided to check us out this morning, man, we're honored that you took the time today. If you are a guest with us this morning and maybe you or a friend, it's a little loud in here. You need a fidget toy, anything like that. You can see Miss Tammy or Miss Brooke. They can get you set up with that this morning. But man, we are excited to see the seeds that God planted yesterday grow and the fruit that's going to come from that. And I would agree with Jared wholeheartedly. Man, some of the best relationships I have with other brothers and sisters in the faith is because I have served with them. Many of the people that came and planted this church with us came out of relationships that we had built while serving in the community, out of the country, all kind of things. And so, hey, if you've been looking for an opportunity to serve, man, I cannot echo that enough, man, that just sometimes you just got to jump feet first and go right in and see what the Lord will do. But if you are a guest with us, one of the things we take very seriously here is prayer. And so we like to take a few moments at the beginning of our gathering to just pray to our Heavenly Father. And we use scripture to guide us in that. This morning, we're going to be in Psalm 131, and that's going to guide our time this morning. Psalm 31, the psalmist writes, he says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And so just kind of thinking about that text, we have just a few prompts to kind of stir your prayer. As you pray, you want to model the Lord's Prayer. So you have a time of adoration, you're just praising the Lord, a time of response to God's word, a time of hey, you bring in your request, and then you kind of go to the Lord and say, all right, God, I'm ready to go. And so just kind of built on that, and in this text, we have a few prompts. And the first is this, is the piece of adoration. Lord, God, you can always be trusted. We know that is true. That's echoed in this psalm. God, you are my hope even when. God, because you can be trusted, you are my hope even when, man, the AC is breaking. You are my hope, man, when there's no money in the bank account. You are my hope when I'm given that diagnosis, God, because I know that you can be trusted. Next is our response. Lord, forgive me for taking so long to trust you with blank. Man, from the people of Israel to today, we are a stubborn group of people. And I would be lying if there's been times where I have delayed my trust in the Lord. So maybe this morning you just ask for forgiveness, Lord. I'm sorry that I have delayed my trust in you. I know that my hope is in you. I know you can do all things, Lord. Next, our request, Lord, I ask you to enable me to hope in you so deeply that I no longer worry about blank. We live in the most anxious generation probably since the birth of man, right? And so if I went around the room this morning, there's so many of you, if you were honest, you would share to pray that prayer this morning. Lord, help me to hope in you so deeply, to love you so deeply that I'm no longer worried about this. And then finally, readiness. Lord, cause the peace you have given me to be noticed by this person. Maybe so they would know that peace. Maybe so they would be drawn into faith in Jesus. Maybe that peace would carry over into somebody else's life and they might desire that peace that you have. But just let that meditate on your soul this morning. You take the next 30 seconds and you just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll transition into a time of just reading God's word. But man, just pour out your heart. This is not me praying over you. This is you and God alone in prayer, pouring your heart out to him and allowing him to pour his heart out to you this morning. Just take the next few moments and you spend time with God this morning. Father, Lord, the whole reason we are gathered here this morning is because of the hope we have in your son, Jesus. God, the hope that we have in the promise of eternal life, the hope that we have in the promise that you give us when you say that we place our faith in Jesus, all our sins are forgiven, and then we get to spend eternity with you in heaven. God, and so we gather this morning in light of that promise to just worship you, to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that you alone deserve. And so as we worship you this morning, I pray that you prepare our hearts to receive your word, to obey it. As you say in James, we got to be both hearers and doers of the word. This word, it can transform somebody's life. It can bring them from life to death. It can do all sorts of things, but we have to respond to it. So I pray this morning, wherever we are in our faith, our walk with Jesus, that we respond to your word this morning. And so we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. We ask you to move in a way that only you can move this morning, that you would move all human presence out of the way, and it would just be us with the Almighty God this morning, soaking in everything you have for us this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, we just pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to invite you, if you're able, to go ahead and stand with us this morning for the reading of God's word. My wife, Tamar, is going to come read an excerpt of Genesis 24 this morning, and then we're going to continue in worship.
We're going to be reading Genesis 24, verses 10 through 14, if you want to take a second to get there. It's also on the screen. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram-Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master."
Amen, amen. Hey, well, good morning once again, man. We're so glad you chose to worship with us today. If you're a guest, man, welcome. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you this morning, I'd love that opportunity before you leave today at the end of our gathering this morning. A couple of things, again, just thank you to all who served, prayed, and gave towards our camp yesterday. We appreciate that. We couldn't do it without you. Just two things real quick, and we'll have the rest of the announcements at the end. We have some baptisms next Sunday, and so, amen. Anytime we have baptism, we pray that. Hey, if you've been like, hey, that's the next step I've been needing to take in my faith, or you're like, I'm not sure if I should follow through the believer's baptism, I have no idea what that is, hey, fill out that Connect card. You can put it in our offering box before you leave today and say, hey, I just want to know more about baptism. I want to know, hey, who's that for? What's that entail? And we can help you with that. The second thing is this, is that our young adult ministry is throwing a block party here in a couple weeks, a back-to-school block party. We're still collecting school supplies, and so next week is the last week to bring those in. They're going to be stuffing some backpacks, giving those away in a couple weeks, and so if you'll be a part of that, you have until next week to bring those things in. But this morning, we are in Genesis 24, and as we get into God's Word, if you would just join me in prayer once more this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather together in this room. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we just ask that we would honor you with the time we have in here today, God, and that your Holy Spirit would do what only he could do. And we just praise your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Genesis 24, right? It is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis with all 67 verses. And we're going to cover every one of them this morning. So I hope you brought a lunch because we're going to be here a minute. Now, it flows faster than you think, but as we think about Genesis 24, I wanted to say a phrase that I think most of you are familiar with, and that is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them what? Drink. All right. That phrase could easily be applied to the relationship between God and man, right? That phrase that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink can be applied to the relationship between God and man. From creation until now, God's desire is that man would follow him, that he would be completely and utterly dependent upon God. Right? Throughout Scripture, we see God show people the way they should go. We see him provide for people. We see him open doors for people. We see him do all kind of things. But what you do not see is God forcing himself on anybody. Right? You don't see God forcing you to anybody to seize the opportunity that he's laid before them. Right? He never makes them drink from the well that never runs dry. He makes that a choice for you and I to make. God gives man the free will to choose. Even though he's created us, even though he desires to be with us, he allows us the decision is ours of what we are choose to do with this life. The decision will, his perfect, choose to follow God's way, his will, his perfect plan that he has laid out for your life before you even took your first breath. He does not force that on you. Even if you just examine the life of Abraham as we've been doing, when God called Abraham out of Ur, he didn't force him to come. He said, hey, Abraham, I want you to come. And Abraham freely chose to follow God. If you're a follower of Jesus in the room, yes, the Holy Spirit drew you to Jesus. He revealed the gospel to you. He drew you in. But there was a point where you had to make a conscious decision to say, yes, I believe. Yes, I receive this gospel. Yes, I will worship Jesus for the rest of my life. He did not force you to believe. Our text this morning is a reminder of this kind of weird tension that exists between God's providence, his divine orchestration of events to accomplish his perfect will in the world, and human responsibility, our faith in action. Right? The two go hand in hand. Yes, God will guide you. He will lead you. He will show you which way to go. He will provide for your needs. But at some point, you have to take ownership and responsibility and say, yes, I will go. You know, Joshua 1:8, it talks about, hey, we need to meditate on God's word day and night so we may be prosperous and successful in this life. If we want to experience true prosperity, not health and wealth, but prosperity in terms of the kingdom of God, of the Jesus way, yes, we need to spend time in his word. Yes, we need to obey his word. But we have to make that decision for ourselves. We cannot experience true prosperity in our faith, true blessing in our faith, true peace in our faith until we say, yes, God, I'm going to follow the way you're leading me. And so with that, if you would go ahead and look with me at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Genesis 24 marks the end of Abraham's narrative and God's redemptive story in Genesis. Right? So this is kind of the transition period between Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 25 is going to die. And so this is kind of a transition chapter. And so we're transitioning from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac's going to be the new receiver of God's covenant promise, right? And so Genesis 24 is the kind of that transition chapter. And so the opening verse reminds us, hey, Abraham is really old, right? If the math is right, he's about 140, 150 years old at this point. And so Abraham is really old, and the author says that he's been blessed by the Lord. Everything he has come from the Lord. And then without much more information, the text continues and says, Abraham calls to himself his most senior trusted servant, probably Eleazar of Damascus that we saw back in Genesis 15. We don't know for sure. But this was the servant whom he trusted with his whole household affairs, right? And so he calls him to himself. And then verse 3, we see him tell his servant, hey, put your hand under my thigh and take an oath. Now, that seems really weird. If anybody in this room asks you to put your hand under their hand under your thigh, or vice versa, any version of that, you just need to say no this morning, all right? However, this was culturally acceptable then. This would be comparable to when you're in a court of law, you are asked to put your hand on a Bible and swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, all right? That's kind of one of the closer things that we can compare that to today. And so he calls his servant, he says, hey, I need you to take an oath. And then in verse continuing in verse 3, he says, hey, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to the land of my family, my kindred. If you read the end of Genesis 22, you're reminded that Abraham has a brother named Nahor. All right, he says, I need you to go to my brother's country, which is on the opposite side of the land of Canaan, and I need you to find for Isaac a wife. Abraham did not want his son to marry one of the native women of Canaan, for they might draw his son away from worshiping the one true God to worship one of their false gods. Right? We actually see that happen with the Hebrew people later on in the Old Testament as they start to intermarry with the Canaanite women and they are drawn away from the worship of God to the worshiping the false idols of the land. And so Abraham says, I need you to go to my family. I need you to find a wife for Isaac. Now, again, to us, this is kind of culturally weird, but in the ancient Near East, this was culturally acceptable to marry your first, second, third cousin, right? It was almost customary and expected, as well as were arranged marriages. And so that's what Abraham is proposing. Go to my family, find a wife. We're going to arrange a marriage. And whoever this wife is going to be the co-heir of the covenant promise with my son Isaac. And so Abraham, now too old to make the journey himself, is giving his most trusted servant this task of finding Isaac a wife. And so we see verse 5, Abraham's servant has some follow-up questions. He says, I hear you, master, but hey, I got some questions. Hey, what if I go, I find her, and she doesn't want to go? Do I then take Isaac to the land you were called from, the land of Ur? Do I take him there to find a wife? What do I do, Lord, if she says no? And Abraham responds in verses 6 through 8. He says, absolutely, you must not take my son back to the place that God called me from. See, taking Isaac out of the promised land, remove him from God's covenant promise. And so Abraham says, that's not an option. Then he continues in his answer to his servant. He says, hey, the Lord is going to be with you on this little adventure. Right? He's going to send his angel to lead your way. He's going to show you whom he has picked out to be the wife for my son Isaac, to be co-heir of the covenant promise. And so from that, we gather that at some point, God had spoken to Abraham and given him these instructions for Abraham to speak so confidently and with faith. But here's what I want us to see, that for the Christian, that God has sealed the heart of every believer with his Holy Spirit. We see that in the New Testament. That when you come to faith in Christ, when you have that regenerate faith, when you are that new creation, one of the affirmations that we have as believers of our salvation calls us home. Holy Spirit. He places his Holy Spirit inside of us until the day he calls us home. And so just as Abraham's servant has this promise that God will lead the way he is to go, God's people today, followers of Christ, have this promise that the Holy Spirit is going to lead them in the way that they should go. Right, John 16:13 says the Spirit of God will guide us in all truth. Paul says in Romans 8 and Galatians 5 that the people of God shall be led by the Spirit of God. God will lead his people in the way that they should go through his Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit of God that he illuminates his word and gives us understanding so we know what we are to do. It's through his Holy Spirit that he gives us discernment to see him working in this world. It's the Spirit of God that directs our path and keeps us in alignment with the will of God. See, if we're willing, though, that's only true if we're willing to remove ourselves from the driver's seat, right? And that's probably one of the biggest struggles of the follower of Christ in following the way that God has set before them is we like to stay in the driver's seat. We don't like to relinquish control. I know a lot of my men in the room, you like to be the guy in the driver's seat when you go on a trip with your family, right? I don't like being in the passenger seat, but when it comes to following God, we have to surrender that right to him if we really want to go the direction that he has for our lives. You know, a group of us from here traveled to Orlando a few years ago. Names shall remain anonymous. But what we learned is that when you have more than one navigator in the vehicle, hey, you take some wrong turns, you make some circles, and you don't necessarily get to where you needed to go. Right? There needs to be one person in charge of navigation, one person leading the way so you can avoid confusion. As followers of Jesus, you should desire to go down the path that God has laid before you because that is the path that is prosperous. That is the one that he has laid out before you. There is no better thing that you can do with your life than to go down the path that he has set before you because his will is perfect. And so here's what the Christian needs to do today. Not only do we need to get out of the driver's seat, we need to quit being the backseat driver in the car, right? Because we'll say, oh yeah, Jesus is in charge of my life, while the whole time we're in the backseat trying to give Jesus directions on where he should go, right? And so We need to quit being the driver. We need to quit being the backseat driver and say, all right, God, you are the navigator. You are in control. I'm going to go wherever you lead this vehicle. But that requires you to choose to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my control and just follow you. He's willing to lead you. Are you willing to follow is the question I have for you this morning. Abraham's servant is willing to follow this angel of the Lord to Isaac's wife. Are you willing to follow the Lord in the way you should go as a follower of Jesus this morning? Looking back at our text, Abraham does then continue to tell his servant, he says, hey, if you do get there and the Lord leads you to this woman, and so Abraham has full confidence God is going to lead him exactly where he needs to go, and he's going to lead him to a wife that he has pre-chosen for Isaac. But he says, hey, if you get there and she will not come with you, you are free from this oath. And so it's here for the first time in the text, we see this kind of tension that we talked about between God's providence and human responsibility. God's going to lead the way. He's going to open the door, but there's still going to be a choice that this woman has to make to say, yes, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to follow you. And so we see that tension here for the first time between God's providence and human responsibility. And the text continues. Now this next chunk of text, verses 10 through 28, is an account of the servant leaving Abraham and going to his brother's country to find a wife. Now it says that Abraham's servant gathered 10 camels, a few men, and lots of gifts, and he was on his way. The servant then and his entourage then arrive outside the city. They stop at a well outside the city. It was evening time at the well was the time important because during this time of day in the ancient Near East, this evening time at the well was the time where all the ladies would be coming out to collect water for the evening meal. See, God in his providence said, hey, this is how good I am. I'm gonna lead you right to where all the ladies are going to be in evening time, right? You're not going to have to go looking for them. All right, they're going to be right here. They're going to come before you. All right, I'm going to make it very clear for you. And so he leads them to this well. And it's there that his servant waits. Now it's here we see the faith of the servant as well. Right now we've talked about the faith of Abraham. Now we see that his servant has a faith in God Almighty as well. In verse 12, as he begins to pray to the Father, he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Now the prayer continues in verse 13, but I want to just stop there in verse 12 for a minute. The servant asked God, God, grant me success. And what he's asking God to do, he's saying, God, will you lead me in the way that is right before you? Not in the way I think I should go, the way that is in right before you, the way that you are leading us to go. You know, life is busy. There's all kind of things bidding for your time on a daily basis, whether it's kids, work, whatever it may be. The list is long. And so I wonder how often as followers of Jesus, we actually stop and pray, Lord, just lead me in what is right today. Not in what I think is right, Lord, but what is right according to your will today? What is right according to the path that you have set before me, the thing that you created me to do before I took my first breath? What is right according to that today, God? Lord, lead me in that. So often in the Christian life, we get so busy that prayer can often become an afterthought. We can just get to going and forging our own path, never stopping to really ask God, hey, am I headed in the right direction? When they should have been desperate all along. In the wrong direction, and then our prayers become desperate. When they should have been desperate all along. We assume sometimes that because something feels right, it looks right, because there's a financial gain, because it's the easy choice, that it must be God's will, right? Oh, this is the easy way. It must be God's will. Hey, I'm going to gain a lot financially from this. It's God's will. We tend to think like that. Oh, this job, man, it's going to be great. It's going to allow me to do all these things. It must be God's will. The reality is just because it simply looks good doesn't necessarily mean it's what God wants for your life. We also have a very real enemy who likes to tempt us with things that are easy, things that look good. He likes to tempt us financially. He likes to tempt us with things that feel good but aren't necessarily right according to God's word. See, to know the path that God has set before you requires to you, number one, to know his word. But number two, to spend time seeking direction for your life in prayer. You got to have that relationship with him to have that discernment to know which way he's leading you to go. See, before you take that new job, you should go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this right before you? God, I don't really want to be here, but you may want me here for a season, for a reason I don't know yet. Is this where you want me to be, or do you want me to go, Lord? God, is it you that wants me to put the for sale sign in front of my house, or do you want me to stay put? Before you make that major life decision, maybe you just simply say, Lord, lead me in what is right. Before you say yes or no, Lord, will you just show me what you want me to say? So we see Abraham's servant pray, and his servant prays with the utmost dependence upon the Lord. And so should we. For everything in our life, we should pray with the utmost dependence upon the Lord. Even if his decisions and his way does not align with the way we think we should go. So looking back at the servant's prayer, it also included some very specific details. He said, God, I'm going to need you to do blank, blank, and blank so I know that this is the way you're leading me. And what he was asking God, he said, I'm going to need you to show me the woman you have chosen, and I'm going to need you to show her to me by her overwhelming kindness and hospitality. Right? We learn in the New Testament, Peter tells us that is a trait of a godly man or woman, is to be hospitable, to be kind. He says, not only do I need this woman to offer me a drink, but I also need her to offer water for my 10 camels. Now, I don't know how many camel experts are in the room, but camels can drink about 30 gallons of water in 30 minutes. All right, so for somebody to come and say, hey, I'm going to give you a drink of water, but I'm also going to give you water for your 10 camels, meant that they were going to have to pull about 300 gallons of water out of a well to water those camels. All right? That's some kindness. That's some hospitality. That's above and beyond what was culturally expected at the time. Not to mention that woman would probably have some guns, right, if she's hauling that much water out of the well. Before the servant had even finished his prayer, though, God answered. We see this young, attractive, unmarried woman named Rebecca show up at the well. And just as the servant had prayed, she shows great kindness and hospitality to the servant. Offers him a drink, gathers water for the camels, and then offers a place for him and his camels and his men to stay the night. And then verse 21, it says, which at first reading, it sounds a little weird. It says that the servant just sat there in that moment. He was silent and he gazed at Rebecca. Now, if most women in here, if you just see a man gazing at you, you're going to get a little creeped out, right? Like it's just the day and age we live in. But the reality of what he was doing is he was waiting to see if this was God's answer to his prayer. Like God had checked some boxes, but there was still one more that had not been checked yet. Right? This woman needed to be of Abraham's kindred, of his family. And so he sat and waited to see if this was the one. He was practicing patience, which I think is such a great reminder for the people of God, because we live in such a rush culture, right? We can get impatient on the waiting with God, and we can jump too soon and miss the place he was calling us to go completely because we just weren't in the mood to wait any longer. He checked two of the three boxes, and so we thought we were good. If you didn't know this, details matter in the kingdom of God, right? It's not a 2 out of 3. It needs to be a 3 out of 3, right? He needs to make sure you check all the boxes before you say yes. And so we see the text continue. He waits, and then as a sign of generosity for her kindness, he gives her a fancy gold nose ring, some fancy bracelets, and then he asks, hey, whose daughter are you? And she replies, I am the daughter, I'm of Nahor's household. That was, again, Abraham's brother. And in this moment, when the servant realized God had answered his prayer, he stops everything and he just worships the Lord in this moment. He worships God because he had answered his prayer. He worships him for his leading. He worships him for the kindness that he had shown him and his master. And he just stops everything in this moment and just bows humbly before the Lord and just thanks him for the answered prayer. The text continues. Rebecca runs back to tell her family what had happened. The servant and his entourage are following behind. We see Rebecca's brother Laban run out and greet the servant and his entourage. And then they go back to Rebecca's house to meet her family. Here's what I want us to see before we continue in the text, is that God answered the servant's prayer, yes. But God had used the ordinary to accomplish his extraordinary will in this moment. I think sometimes when we pray, we expect God's answered prayers to be this like really big, aha, extraordinary thing. Like, but we don't see that here. We don't see God raining down fire from heaven. We don't see him raising dead bones back to life. We see him answering the servant's prayer in the ordinary, everyday events of life. Right, but it was through the discernment of the servant who had a relationship with the Lord, he was able to see, yeah, hey, this is God working right here. This is God moving. This is the divine providence of God. This is God orchestrating this. It's not coincidence. But listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, right, really if you're not a follower of Jesus, but if you're definitely a follower of Jesus, hey, you should just throw coincidence out the window. There is no coincidence because we have a sovereign God of the universe that controls all things, and he's orchestrating all things to accomplish his will in the world. So everything that is allowed to happen is because God has allowed it to accomplish his will in some way, shape, or form. And so the servant recognizes, hey, this isn't coincidence. This is God answering my prayer. When we walk faithfully with the Lord, he gives us eyes to see him working in the ordinary. He gives us the discernment to notice what he notices. And we see that in the text. Now you continue in the text, verses 29 through 49 are really the servant going to Rebekah's family and just recapping everything we just covered. Hey, here's my master Abraham, here's who he is. He told me to come here. Now I'm here. This is how he answered my prayer, all those things. But even though it's a recap, I do want us to look at verse 33 briefly this morning. Verse 33, the servant had made it to Rebekah's family's house, and then food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have said what I have to say. And they responded, speak on. Abraham's servant had prioritized mission over comfort. He had said, I am going to complete the mission that God has given me before I worry about my own self. See, and like Abraham's servant, the follower of Jesus has been given a mission. And given a twofold mission. Number one, the follower of Jesus is to walk intimately with Jesus in an abiding faith day in and day out, becoming more like Jesus. Second, Matthew 28, Great Commission. Followers of Jesus are to go out into the world and make disciples. They are to replicate themselves. They are to share the gospel, lead people into faith in Jesus, and then teach them the commands of Jesus so they can go out and do the same. That command is not for the special forces Christians, but it's to every saint who bears the name of Jesus, whose soul is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. They have been given a mission to live faithfully before God and to bring people into as many people into the kingdom of God as they possibly can with the breath they have been given. The mission is great, the field is vast, the workers are few, and the harvest is plentiful. But one of the things that can hinder the work of the harvest is when we put comfort before mission. I would say this is more prevalent in the American church than anywhere else. We put comfort before mission, right? Just look at the buildings we build. We put comfort before mission. We put programs before mission. We put everything else before mission. And once we get comfortable, we say, hey, I'm going to go on mission now. But the mission should be the priority, not our comfort. Jesus nowhere in his gospel says, hey, you need to be comfortable before you obey what I've called you to do. To seek comfort before mission would be like a firefighter coming to put the fire out of your house and then stopping to eat lunch along the way, right? There is a world that is in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus, and for us to put comfort before mission just doesn't make sense. Looking back at the text, verse 50. The servant recounts his story to Laban and the other family members there, and they agree, hey, this is ordained by the Lord. This is God that has orchestrated all these things. Now, we do get the sense, knowing that Laban, later on in Genesis, he's not the most honest of people, so we do get a sense that maybe he's not on the up and up here, but they do, as a family, agree, hey, this is from the Lord. And they say, hey, okay, we agree. She can go with you, but let her stay here 10 days. Now, that phrase 10 days really didn't mean 10 days. It could have meant it could have been 10 days, or it could have been up to a year that they were asking her to stay. But Abraham's servant says, I cannot delay. Right? This is God's will. This is his mission. I can't delay. I got to go. We got to go now. And so Rebekah's family put the ball in her court. In verse 58, they say, what do you want to do, Rebekah? And in verse 58, she says, I will go. Now, Rebekah probably had 100 valid reasons why she could have said no. But she says yes to God. She trusts God's leading. She doesn't let excuses keep her from trusting the God of all creation. She says, I will go. Again, this reminder that God is faithful to lead us, but he does not make us follow. But in that, there's this other reminder that God may open a door. He may point you in the right direction, but that door may not stay open forever. Right? I feel like this little conjecture on my part, if Rebekah would have said no, God would have found somebody else. But then her opportunity would have been gone. Some of the things I think about on a regular basis is opportunities that maybe God has put before me, and I didn't say yes in faith. And now I have to live in the regret of not saying yes when he had opened that door that is now closed. What could have been if I would have said yes? Before we move on, I want us to notice this. In Abraham's life, God used dreams and visions to speak to him, to show him the way he should go. But in this text, God reveals through his the faithfulness of a servant, he reveals his will to Rebekah. See, church, here's what I want to encourage you this morning, to not disregard the wisdom of faithful saints, right? Because God might be using them to speak to you right now about the way you should go. He might be using some faithful saints in your life right now to help correct the path that you're currently on. He might be using some faithful saints right now to call you in a different direction. If I wouldn't have had somebody speak some truth into me and say, hey, I think God has called you to do this. I would have never planted a church if I wouldn't have some faithful saints say, hey, God has put this on my heart. I think you should at least pray about it. But we live in such a society where we're quick to disregard anything anybody says, that God could be trying to guide you through the faithful words of the saints, and you're just totally kicking them to the curb. So I would just encourage you this morning to at least consider the people that, if you got people in your life that you trust that are faithful saints, that are that God may be using them to help direct you on the path he has called you to go. Looking at the last section of our text this morning, verses 63 through 67, really the text just closes in verse 60 through 61 with Abraham or with Rebekah's family giving her their blessing, saying, hey, we bless you in this. We know God is in this. Then we have this detail of the journey back to where Isaac is. The two meet, they get married, and it says that Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of Sarah, who had passed away. And so really the end of that text marks Rebekah's new role as the most powerful woman in the clan of Abraham. And it marks this beginning of this transition from Abraham and Sarah to Isaac and Rebekah. And so as we kind of consider the text this morning, again, I really want it to be on our minds this morning, this tension between God's divine providence and this orchestrating of events to accomplish his will and our responsibility in that. Right, this divine leading of God's Spirit in our lives, this opportunity he gives us to follow or stay, to trust or give excuses, to lead or surrender. Prayer plays a big role in that. Humility is key if we are to follow God's lead. Seeking the Lord, asking him, hey, what is right, God? Where should I go? Not making our decisions and asking him for advice later. Being attentive to the Spirit, walking in the discernment that comes from the knowledge of God's word. You know, Paul says in Romans that it's through the word of God that we are to test and approve the will of God. If you don't know God's word, you can't test and approve what his will is, the path he might be leading you on. If you don't know his word, you can't test and approve it. See, that blessed life you want, that content life, that life of peace, that life of prosperity that Joshua talks about, it only happens when you are walking the path that the Lord has set before you. But he's not going to make you walk it. You're going to have to choose for yourself to follow his lead. I was sharing with some people this week that just the burden of my heart, and maybe it's the burden of a lot of pastors, is, man, I yearn to see followers of Jesus take the gospel, take Jesus, and just completely orient their entire lives around that. Because that's what we're called to do in salvation. We see Abraham model that, to orient it, that Jesus isn't just another thing. He's just not a checkbox in the week. He is the source and the life of everything we do and every decision we make. And that is what my heart yearns for every follower of Jesus. But you have to make that choice. I can't make it for you. I would say one of the most frustrating things of being a pastor is watching people knowing the decision they should make and watching them do the exact opposite and knowing how it's going to work out for them. Then I imagine what God must feel on a daily basis. You know, to the unbeliever, God reveals himself through his gospel. He draws them in, allowing them the opportunity to choose everlasting life through salvation in Jesus. To the believer, God opens doors. He shows them the path they should go through his Spirit, a path that aligns with his perfect will. He orchestrates events in his divine providence, putting people in our path, speaking to us through his word, whatever source he might use, in an effort that we might choose to follow him. And that we might choose to drink from the well that never runs dry. You know, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, do not lean on your own understanding, but trust the Lord. Psalms 112, verse 1 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and delight in his commands. Psalms 37, 5 says, you are to commit your way to the Lord. Church, my question for us this morning as we begin to close our time together is this: are you willing, or do you desire to walk in what is right and true according to the Lord, the will of God? Are you content with going your own way, or is there anything in you that desires the path that God has set before you? See, right now, there's four positions in this room. Imagine this is the well that you're taking your horse to drink. Right now, there's some of you in this room, you are on a parallel course between the well that God has at the end of his path and the life you're living, and you have no hope of ever intersection because you have no interest in Jesus. There's some in this room, man, you know the path is there, you know where the well is at, but you're not real sure how to get there because you lack disciples. Nobody's ever taken the time to teach you, to disciple you. Right? We got some D groups starting off in a couple weeks, man. If that's you, we can help you there. Some of you, you know where it's at. You even know kind of how to get there, but you won't get out of the backseat driver position long enough to get there. So you keep running around it. You're going away from it. You're going under it. You're going over it, but you're not to it because you won't just let God lead. And then others in here, you got it dialed in, man. You have surrendered. You like, God is leading you and said, yeah, man, I'm here. I'm drinking from the well. Man, I am satisfied. I am content. I am blessed. Man, I am walking with the Lord in everything that I need. My question, church, is where are you this morning? And where do you want to be? I'm going to ask Logan to come and lead us in a time of response this morning. And as he does, that's what I want us to consider. Are you willing to pray that prayer, Lord, lead me in what is right? Don't let my feelings and my emotions and what feels good and what is easy confuse me. Lead me into what you say is right. Are you willing this morning to get yourself out of the driver's seat, out of that backseat driver's seat, and just ride with the Lord this morning? Are you willing to pursue mission over comfort? Are you willing to take the 1,000 reasons that you could come up with this morning of why you can't and just simply say, God, I will, because I trust you this morning? Will you choose to follow the Lord above all else? Will you choose to orient yourself around Jesus? And we'll have John and Caleb be up here, and Brian and Sharmini be in the back. If you want somebody to pray with you this morning, you come and kneel and pray at our altars up here. You can sit and worship where you're at, but this is the time for you to respond to the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, man, God, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. I ask for forgiveness for all the times where, man, I've seen the path where you're telling me to go, and I've veered right and left, and I've taken a lot longer to get there than I should have. God, I ask your forgiveness for those times where you have opened up a door and I said no. So God, I just pray over us this morning. My heart, my pastor's heart is that everybody in this room would say yes to orient their life around you. That they would say yes to praying to you daily, Lord, show me the way that is right. Show me the way that I should go. Show me the way that you have ordained for my life. But I also know that that path is filled with a lot of temptations, a lot of struggles, a lot of things that could veer us off course. I just pray you make our way straight this morning. You'd make it clear. You'd remove the obstacles in our way. You'd put the people in our life that we need to have that support. God, that we would have a vibrant prayer life, that we would have a tenacious alone time with you every day. God, that we would become more and more like you with every breath we take. Lord, I do pray for those in the room that have never given their life to Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. God, that you would draw them in. They would know your word is true. And they would make the decision to choose Jesus this morning. And so we just lay this all down before you this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit move in this place. We praise your son Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand with us one more time this morning as we just worship the Lord this morning.
All right. We have just a couple of quick announcements to share with everybody before we dismiss. August the 2nd, I know Jared already mentioned it, but next week is the last week to bring school supplies to be given to kids in East Milton. And we still have, I think there's several things that we still need, paper and composition books? No? Okay, paper. Okay, all right. And then we also have our Three Chords Marriage Ministry, August 15th and September 19th. You can see Heidi or Renee Grosjean or Ben or Mike. They can help you get set up to come to that. That's for engaged and married folks. So make sure you can check with them on that. And then the Foundry Youth Group, they're going to have like a parent meeting. And Heidi wanted me to make sure that I let you guys know. They're doing it 2 weeks after school starts. So school start, and then they're going to do it the following week because they just really don't want families to be overwhelmed. That's going to be August 19th. And then youth will actually start on August 26th. So if you have a kiddo that's in sixth grade and up, they are invited to that. It's a great time and good time for them to learn more. They always seem to go really deep into the sermon, like message from the week, so it's really good. And then lastly, the Replicate Women's Retreat is coming up. We're going to be going to Blue Springs in Marianna. That's going to be October 23rd through the 25th. If you're interested in that, it's an incredible time. You may be a woman that's in a season of like, I just want to rest, and that's totally fine. You can come there and get away and rest. Or you may be like, hey, I want to climb a rock wall and be super active, and that's awesome if you're that person. I will not be on the rock wall with you, but I will support you in spirit. But you may want to do that. If you're interested in that, it's a great time. You can see Jade or Marie, or you can come find me, and I can point you in the right direction for that. It's just an incredible time, so I hope that you guys will come. And then lastly, I just wanted to share something with you guys. I asked permission from my kids, and they told me, one of them said yes, I could share the story, and one said no. So out of respect for them, I'm not going to share the whole story. But yesterday after our inclusive soccer camp, I had a moment with our kids. And a lot of you guys know we have three kids, but we have two kids that are still in home with us. And we have Silas that is our awesome little special guy over here in the wheelchair. And then we have his little sister, Elsie. And yesterday as I was giving Silas his medicine, his little sister said something to him and he told me I could not repeat it. But I just want to say that what she said to him was really evident that she watched a group of followers of Christ yesterday, love and pour into people of all abilities. And she took note. And I want you to know, I wish I could share this story because it would probably make you cry. And I like to make people cry. Just kidding. But it was just such a heartfelt moment where God showed me that she was really paying attention yesterday. And she saw you guys serving. And she saw you working with these kids of all different abilities. And it made an impact on her. And she lives with a family that does that all day long. But seeing you guys do it yesterday really made an impact on her. So I want to thank you guys for serving yesterday. It was incredible to watch. It's always such an honor to see the people of God loving beyond their comfort zone, loving beyond their abilities, and just giving like you guys did. And I'm just so proud to be at this church. And God has given this church such a beautiful heart for people and people that don't always fit in a perfect mold. And I'm so thankful to be here. And so I just pray God's blessings over you guys this week. We love y'all, and we'll see you guys next week.